in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Father, we declare that our hearts and minds are open to receive your engrafted word, which is able to save, heal, transform, prosper, cause us to make progress, take us from grace to grace. Thank you, Father, for your life transforming word. Thank you, Father. Shagabarakato sovrakapalagadia. Mandeke bresko teketi labakatai. Grant us seeing eye tonight, hearing ears tonight, a wise and understanding heart. Keli borose bila kapatai. Our eyes are anointed with eye salves to see the wonders in your word, to see what you are saying, to see the visions of God, to see what you are showing us, and to enter into them, to hear what you are saying, and the obedient heart to do your word always. In Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. And for 5 seconds, celebrate unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. You might be seated in high places. Welcome to today's prophetic service, part 2. We started last week with a prophetic service. We resumed last week with a prophetic service. And we said the aim of this prophetic service is to do an explosive, an extensive exposition, an expose on the prophetic word for this year 2024, which the Lord has given us, which is our year of abundance. Hallelujah. And also to cause you to understand your participatory role for the fulfillment of that prophetic word. And on this mountain, we are set to receive divine illumination, prophetic insights, instructions, and impartations that will result in the dramatic turnaround and radical transformation of our lives, our destinies. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The rain of abundance have started falling already. It is falling upon our lives, upon our families, upon AGMI, upon the body of Christ all over the world. There is an outpouring of abundance upon us in this season. Glory to God. Romans 5:17. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. For if by one man's offense, that one man is Adam the first. He said by one man's offense, death, spiritual death, that later gave birth to physical death and resulted in the second death. By one man, Adam's offense, spiritual death reigned by one. He says much more. Somebody say much more. Take note of that word. Much more. It's not even to the same degree. It's not to the same degree. He said much more.
This is the year of much more. You know, one of the meaning of abundance is much more. Hope you know. It says much more day. Who are the day? Do we have part of the day? Are you there? Are you included in the day? It's talking of believers in Christ. It says much more day which receive. The word receive is a Greek word lambano. It's not a passive word. Let me explain. It says day which receive. Now, lambano does not mean, I'm going to hand over this basket to you and then you receive it. Lambano, no, sit down, just sit down. Okay, just come. Let's do small illustration. I want to explain the meaning of that word receive because some of us don't get it. Lambano, no, just come this way, sir. Thank you. Now, it said they which receive. This is not the meaning of lambano. He just received this basket, but this is, it is passive. This one is passive. Why? Because he waited for me to come and give it to him. Did you notice? But watch this. Just imagine I told you, this basket is yours. I bought it for you. This is the meaning of that word, lambano. It means to take possession of that which is rightfully yours. You don't wait for it to be dropped on your lap. Am I communicating? You seize it. Am I communicating? You seize it. Powered by the understanding that it belongs to you. Thank you, sir. You can go and sit. That's the meaning of lambano. It means to take possession of that which is yours. It means to seize something, and sometimes it involves violence because sometimes there is some resistance. Are you seeing this? Is it a share in this kingdom? It's being sought for with the most ardent zeal and what? Intense exertion. The enemy doesn't want you to receive that which is yours. So you seize it with force. Am I communicating? You take it by force. Say with me, I take it by force. 2024, I take my abundance by force. So it is active collecting. It is active taking. It is not passive. Am I communicating? They which lambano that seize and take possession of what? The abundance of grace that has been made available to you in Christ as a result of Jesus' redemptive work, but as a result of his sacrifice, his substitutionary suffering. Am I communicating? He has made abundance of grace available to us. Your job is to what? Your job is to what? Somebody say, take it. Take it. Seize it. And make it yours. Are you seeing this? They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign by one. Two recipes for reigning in life there. Number one, abundance of grace. Number two, the gift of righteousness. And the good news is that we have both in Christ. Are you listening? Ha! You see, God, I can liken God to an ocean. Is there scarcity of water in the ocean? The question is not how much can God give, it's how much can you receive. Your receiving capacity is what sets the limit, not God. He says, they which receive abundance. A translation says overflowing grace. Give me, is it amplified? Overflowing grace. Look at it. He says, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness, they will reign as kings in life. Are you seeing this? So two things from that scripture you need to reign as a king in life. Number one, abundance or overflowing grace. Number two, the gift of righteousness. They shall reign as kings. Do you know you are a reigning king? Make sure you reign. You are to rule and reign over your sphere of influence. You are to rule and reign and dominate. Are you seeing this? He said they shall reign as king in life through the one man Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Can you shout amen? Amen. Then John chapter 10 verse 10. John chapter 10 verse 10. It's our year of abundance. It says, the thief come not but for to what? Number one, steal, and to kill, and to destroy. And I say, prophetically speaking, the thief there is Satan, the devil, and his cohort. Their mission is always to steal, to kill, and to destroy the lives and destinies of men. Am I communicating? But thank God, Jesus did not end the statement that way. Look at the B part. I love that. He says, I am come. Jesus started by announcing the mission of Satan. Then he went on to announce his own mission. He said, I am come that they might have life. And the Greek word life there is zoe. So zoe, the life of God. It is superior in quality, super abundant in quantity. It's the highest kind of life there is. The highest blessedness of the creature. Am I communicating? Divine essence. I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it how? In short supply. They may have it small. He says they may have it more abundantly. Glory to God. I say glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I like the way the Amplified puts it. The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's Satan's mission. Threefold mission. Three-point agenda. To steal, kill, destroy. Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life. See, God is not against you enjoying life. The word enjoy is not a bad word. It is scriptural. Let me tell you, neighbor, it's scriptural to enjoy life. Listen. Don't get used to suffering. You know, there is something suffering can do. It has a way of resetting people's mindset until they start feeling, they will see it as normal. So when they start enjoying, they will start feeling uncomfortable. It's a distorted picture. That's not Bible. Am I communicating? The Bible says God has given us freely all things to enjoy. Let me show you another scripture. 1 Timothy 6:17. We'll come back here. 1 Timothy 6:17. What did he say? Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. That's talking of pride and arrogance, which is one of the temptations of the rich. Am I communicating? He said they should not become puffed up with pride and arrogance. They shouldn't be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. That's number two temptation of the rich. Is what? Trusting in their money instead of trusting in God. Are you seeing this? It says, but they should trust in the living God. You know, there's something about money. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, mammon, the god of wealth, the Syrian god of wealth, you know, is an incessant contestant. Hear my choice of word. Incessant contestant for the place of God in people's hearts. Nothing fight for that thing like money. That's why the average billionaire, the average billionaire, is money can solve 75, at least 75% of the average prayer point in the African church. Do you know a study, a research was done, and they realized nothing less than 75% of the prayer point of the average believer will be solved with money. As in, once you give them money, 75% of their prayer point is solved. So imagine when somebody... Do you know who a billionaire is? Somebody is a billionaire. You now see why some people, when God blesses them, they stop praying. Are you seeing this? It's because they don't understand prayer as they ought. They think prayer is only petition. Prayer is a declaration of dependence on God. The primary purpose of prayer is for communion with God. You can make your petition while communing with God. Are you seeing this? You can ask God for things while doing the communion. And then secondly, there are some things money cannot solve. Are you seeing this? There are some things money cannot solve. Money can buy you the best bed, even this pneumatic bed, pressure bed. You know this kind of special bed? That when you just sink inside, you know, it relieves pressure. Even if you are having back pain, thing has a way of massaging the back pain, you know. There's this special expensive pressure bed. Money can buy that bed, but can money buy sleep? There's some rich people that are plagued with sleepless nights. Are you seeing that? Money can build the best house, build mansion. Can it secure you from armed robbers? Armed robbery attack? No. Money can build a house, but can it build a, give you a happy home? No. A happy home that there is peace, there is love. Can money buy peace? Can money buy peace? Can money buy joy? And these are the things that make a happy home. Am I communicating? Money can buy you the best car. Can it secure and protect your life, preserve your life? Money can buy private jet. Can it give you protection in the air? So, you need to understand this, okay? Money is good, is important, but that's its own limitation. Praise God. Thank you. That's my wonderful wife. Very clear, caring. You see, what? You see, what? Praise God. Money cannot buy this one. You just say, real love. Money cannot buy true love. True love. Not this kind of love for sale Nigeria movie. Not that type. Praise God. That kind of fake love. And you just be billing every time, billing the guy, billing husband, billing boyfriend. Somebody collected your phone number, the next thing you have sent account. My phone just went bad. They are billing, as if you are from, your name is Billy. You are from Billingham. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, learn to enjoy life. It is scriptural. Look at it. It says, but they should trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. All things. Not some things. All things. Abundance of all things to enjoy. Don't endure life. Enjoy it. Enjoy life on earth. Enjoy it in heaven. Then enjoy it in the new heaven and the new earth. The man of God said there are four categories of people on earth. He puts it in Hausa. Number one, Samu. No, okay, let's start with Samu Rasa. Then there is Rasa Samu. Then there is Rasa Rasa. Then there is Samu Rasa. No, Samu is the last group. That is those that
they gain on earth, enjoy this life, rock life on earth, but because they are not born again, they lose their eternity. That's unbelievers that are rich in this world, that are successful in this world. That's how they will end, except they get born again. Then there is the Rasa Samu. The first one I just explained is the Samu Rasa. Enjoy life on earth, lose eternity with God. The second category is which one? Rasa Samu. This is the case for some believers. They suffer on earth, Lazarus group. You remember Lazarus? The Bible says he was desiring to eat from what? The crumbs. And God granted him his desire. Oh, be careful what you desire. Oh. Be careful what you desire. God granted him. God did not say no. Are you seeing this? He suffered on earth. He was so poor. He died of poverty and sickness. But he went to Abraham's bosom. He made heaven. Because Jesus later transferred those in Abraham's bosom, including Lazarus, to heaven after his resurrection. So this is the second category of people on earth. Believers that are born again. But because they don't understand the principles of success and prosperity that are in God's word, or they understand but refuse to apply it, they end up living as failures on earth, living poor, broke, gutted and disgusted. Broke to the letter E. Broke like a broken plate. They suffer on earth, but when they die, or when rapture meets them suffering, heaven at last. They make heaven. They go and enjoy on earth. That's second category. Then third category is Rasa Rasa. They lose here, they lose there. These are people that are not born again. Eh? They are not born again and they suffer on earth under the terrorist government of Satan. Poor, suffering, living afflicted, living in squalor. Then they die. Just like, is it fella that say double wahala for dirty body? You understand? They go and enter season 2 of their suffering in hell. Then the third category. I like this one. Now here we do. Rasa Rasa. What's the last category? Samu Samu. They gain here, they gain there. That's the will of God. Enjoy life on earth. Am I communicating? You cannot apply the principles of God's word correctly, consistently, and not live a victorious life on earth and not be successful. Are you seeing this? I started a teaching series on JFM. What was even the title? I'm trying to remember. The secrets of sustainable success and surpassing greatness. I was trying to say something very important there. I said, if it is not the will of God for believers to live successful lives on earth, why did God give to Joshua in Joshua 1:8 the success recipe when he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night? That's to show you that it is the will of God. At the very beginning of his ministry, God showed him the secret of success in ministry, in leadership. He says, it's in this book of the law. Put it in your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you will observe to do. When you apply the principles of God's word, you must succeed. Even unbelievers, those that are not born again, that are successful, go and check. They are applying the principles of Jesus, even though they have not accepted his person. They are applying the principles of God's word. Am I communicating? It will always lead to success, whether you are born again or not. It will work for you. It's a law. It's a principle. It has a predictable outcome. It's just that if those unbelievers continue like that and they die without accepting the person of Jesus, they will end up in hell. Am I communicating? The word works. Tell your neighbor, the word works. Your success is in the word. Everything you ever need, your life of abundance is in God's word. He has given us richly all things to enjoy. It's our year of abundance. In 2 Peter 1 verse 3, he says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. God has given us how many things? All things. Jesus has paid the price for you to enjoy the abundance of all things that pertain to life and godliness. It has been fully paid for. Am I communicating? Insist on getting your portion. Lambano it. Tell your neighbor, lambano it. All things paid for by his blood. The sacrifice of Jesus is more than enough payment for those things. John 10:10 again in Amplified. He said, I have come that they may have life. They may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full. Till what? Till it overflows. Hallelujah. Amen. No devil can cut short your life. With long life, God have satisfied you. In the name of Jesus. We defined abundance last week. We said it means to exceed a fixed number of measure, comma, it to be left over and above a certain number or measure, comma, it means surplus. The word abundance, perisia in Greek, it also means to superabound in quantity or quality. To superabound in quantity or quality. It means to be in excess, to be superfluous, to be over and above measure, more than necessary, to be more than necessary, to have enough and to spare. It means much more than enough. Abundance means exceeding some number or measure or rank or need. Beyond measure, it means overflow. That word abundance also means superior, extraordinary, surpassing, uncommon, preeminence, more excellent. It means advantage. Glory to God. And we said, God has given us in Christ abundance of grace. And when we say grace, is a generic term that refers to all the blessings and benefits of Christ's redemptive work or substitutionary sacrifice. Everything Christ has procured or purchased for us by his blood, all our blood-bought inheritance, all that accrued to us. Am I communicating? As a result of the suffering, substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus, his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection, ascension. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 9:8. He said, God has caused, he has made all grace to abound towards us. All grace. Somebody say all grace. There is a mighty outpouring of grace for abundance. And then we started looking at the dimension of this grace for abundance. Number one, we said, the first dimension of this grace for abundance is abundance of what? Prophetic visions and revelations. Acts 2:17, 21, Ephesians 1:17 to 19, Daniel 11:32 b, Daniel 12:4, Galatians 2:2, 1 Corinthians 2:9 to 10. Number two, second dimension of abundance grace is abundance of the anointing, the power of God, abundance of miraculous manifestations, massive moves of the Spirit, mighty demonstrations of the Spirit and power, miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. Avalanche of healings. Glory to God. Acts 10:38, 1 Corinthians 1:24, Esther 1:7-8, Psalm 23:5, Psalm 92:10, Luke 4:14 down to 14:18-19. Hallelujah. The third dimension is abundance of what? Divine wisdom operation. Mark 6:2, John 6:6, Ephesians 3:10, Ephesians 1:17, 1 Kings 4:29-34, 1 Kings 10:23-29. Then the fourth dimension, this is where we stopped last week, right? Is abundance of what? Divine blessings and favor. Favor with God and men. Abundance of divine blessings and favor with God and men. When favor is working, you enjoy unusual kindness, unusual acceptance, unusual access to men and their resources and their treasures. Glory to God. Ezekiel 34:26, John 1:16, Amplified, 2 Corinthians 9:8, Amplified, Luke 2:52, 1 Samuel 2:26, 2 Samuel 9:1-13, the story of Mephibosheth. How he enjoyed unusual kindness from King David. Exodus 3:21-22, Exodus 12:35-36. When favor is working, people give to you for no reason or for any reason. May you enjoy favor that does not make sense in this season. Abundance of favor. Psalm 5:12, Psalm 44:3, Psalm 102:13, Deuteronomy 33:23. You say, oh Naphtali, put your name there. Oh, look at Satlong. Satisfied with favor and full with the blessing. Possess thou the soul. You see, the blessing, the favor of God makes you a possessor. It makes you a possessor. Was it not by favor God gave the promised land, the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel? He said, you will inherit houses you did not build, houses full of all good things you didn't fill. You will even inherit cities full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells dig which you didn't dig, vineyards, oliveyards. The promised land is a land of abundance. And is a type of our place in Christ. Hallelujah. The fifth dimension of this grace for abundance. Are you ready now? Is abundance. Or let me put it this way. Financial abundance. Financial abundance. Then put dash. Abundance of financial fortunes. Abundance of kingdom wealth, riches and resources. This is the fifth dimension of abundance God have ordained for you this year. And I said this year, as the Lord showed me, there will be accelerated wealth transfer. God is shifting wealth from the world to the church. From the world to the church. The wealth of the sinner that is laid up and piled up is finding its way into the hands of believers. Is flowing into the church. In the name of Jesus. Position yourself correctly. Am I communicating? It will come by the wisdom, the favor of God, and the manifestations of the Spirit. Glory to God. This year there will be multiplied money miracles, financial miracles, financial signs and wonders, provisional miracles, miracles of supernatural supplies. Palaka sofregedia. Isaiah 45:1. Isaiah 45:1. He said, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding. God is holding your right hand. He said to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of king. I will open unto him the two-leaf gate, and the gate shall not be shut. Next verse. So you will be led by the Spirit. He said, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gate of brass. I will cut asunder the bars of iron. In other words, God will crush every opposition, break every barrier, remove resistance and restriction. And what will be the result? Verse 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
God said, I will give you the treasures of darkness.
Amen.
Are you ready to receive it?
Yes.
If you are ready, your amen will be the loudest. Palagabaya. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. So there are riches hidden in secret places. Aya, the wisdom of God is opening your eyes to those mysteries and secrets. By the wisdom of God, you are accessing wealth and riches hidden in secret places. Malekobo sabagadaya. He said that thou mayest know that I'm the Lord which called thee by name. I'm the God of Jacob. Do you know there are some very wealthy people? You see why God is transferring wealth from the world to the church? Because listen, money in the wrong hands will be used to fulfill Satan's will. Are you aware? Money in the hand of the unbeliever, or even a believer that lack understanding of the kingdom, will not be used correctly for the right purpose. James, Apostle James, told us that even money is crying to be delivered from the hands of sinners. Are you seeing this? Boko Haram, Fulani herdsmen, unknown gunmen, terrorist attack. Is it not with money they are funding it? The guns they are using. Do you know the cost of one AK-47? Do you know the cost? How many families it can feed? After this service, go and do the research and come back to me. Weapons are bought with millions, even billions. Am I communicating that these terrorists are using to steal, kill and destroy? That they are using to steal, kill and destroy. You now see why even the money in the hand of wicked and unreasonable people, the money is shouting and crying out for deliverance. The money wants to enter hands into the hands of people like you so that they can use it for the kingdom intended purpose. Are you seeing this? Money in the hands of believers will be used to advance the kingdom, will be used to put smiles on the face of suffering humanity. You become a blessing to people. You can't help the poor when you are poor. You need money to do good. The good in your heart, may it not die with you. You need money to give expression to that. Some of you want to build orphanages. Some of you want to pay people school fees, put them on scholarship. God will put the money in your hands. Are you seeing this? Kingdom advancement is capital intensive. We did a crusade, our first outdoor crusade last year. Glory Incense Concert and Crusade. What a huge success. But can you see the budget? Did you see the budget? Over 4.something million. You need money to advance the kingdom. We are on GFM, we are on Peace FM, Avalanche of Good News broadcast, our gospel outreach to the city of Jos, and very soon we'll go on TV. These things require money. And look at how many lives, how many of you have listened to the testimonies from the broadcast? I think it was the last broadcast for the year that I just shared some of the testimonies. Look, imagine if we were not there. Even pastors are being impacted and transformed. But you cannot do that with an handshake. Eh? Imagine when the people ask for their money and then you say, you know, God bless you. You know, this gospel we are preaching is very important. The souls of men. Ah! If they die without Jesus, they are headed for a godless eternity. They are damned. Ah, you have to give us free airtime. They may call police on me. No, they can't call police on me. You need money for the sake of the gospel, to be a blessing to suffering humanity. Some of you, when you see the poverty in your family, it vexation of spirit. It angers you. Malaga bagada. In the hospital, I have seen some patients died because of lack of 2,000 naira to buy drug. Poverty is destruction. Don't romance it. Kill it. It's not your friend. It's on a mission to kill you. The Bible says the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So poverty is a destroyer. It's not the will of God. The course of the law in Deuteronomy 28 can be divided into three broad categories: poverty, sickness, and death. If you go back and study Deuteronomy 28, from verse, is it 15 or 16 to the end, it talks of the curse of the law, the curse of disobedience. You will realize everything mentioned there falls into these three categories: poverty, sickness, and death. And if you count the number of verses allocated to poverty, is the highest among the three. Is the highest. He said, you shall be betrothed to somebody. Another man will come and marry the person. You've already proposed. You don't put ring. And then somebody else will come and marry the person. Why? Because you are poor. Is it not happening? Is it not happening? Is it not happening? Some people will have been married by now, if not for poverty. They went for introduction. They gave them list. And for 5 years, you think the girl will wait for you forever? For 5 years, they don't see you are still gathering. And then one sharp man just showed up, way whole side. And the lady agreed for that one. Hi! Is there another one stepped in before me? Poverty is not a good thing. No. Listen. Give me Zechariah 1:17. Glory to God. Are you getting blessed? It says, cry yet. That word cry in the Hebrew, it means preach, proclaim, shout it. Saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through what? Poverty. Is that what that scripture says? My cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Listen, God is not against his children being rich. What God does not want is covetousness. God does not want you to be greedy, to be selfish, to be covetous. And God does not want you to start loving money and serving money. That's idolatry. That's what God does not want. But it is the will of God for you to have money, have it in abundance. But God does not want money to have you. It is one thing to have money. It's another thing for money to have you. When you cannot give God, or give at God's instruction, or give as instructed by the word of God, that means you don't just have money. Money has you. Money, mammon, spirit have gripped your heart. This is why some people find it hard to give. Are you seeing this? They are under the grip of the spirit of mammon. The spirit of mammon Mammonas is responsible for greed. Can't you see some of Nigerian politicians? They have stolen billions, yet you know they never steal belly food. They can never be satisfied. They keep stealing and stealing and stealing. Because greed is an appetite that can never be satisfied. Are you seeing this? Greed, selfishness, self-centeredness. That's what God does not want. These are manifestations of materialism. And it is the spirit of Mammon that sponsors materialism. There is a big difference between materialism and kingdom financial prosperity. Somebody say, what's the difference? The purpose for the wealth. Materialism is what the people of the world have. They amass wealth, they gather, they heap up, they get all they can all they got, and then they sit on the can as long as they can, until waiting till the day they die. You understand? They use all what they have, their wealth and possession, for show off, to oppress. That's materialism. Money without kingdom purpose is materialism. But kingdom financial prosperity is different. What is the purpose? To advance and establish God's kingdom, win souls, be a blessing to suffering humanity. Am I communicating? So, for us in the kingdom, is money with a mission. What is the mission? Help me.
Kingdom advancement.
It is prosperity with a purpose. What is the purpose?
Kingdom
advancement. Kingdom advancement. My cities. So, without this kingdom purpose, it is called money miss road. Your money go miss road. And listen, there is something about money. You know, money on its own is a master. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters, God and money, Mammon. If you don't use your money to serve God, you will end up serving that money. That's the funny part. One of the reasons why God say we should give is so that you can conquer greed and keep Mammon in subjection and conquer idolatry. Am I communicating? That tendency to worship money. When you use your money to worship God, you cannot worship the money. Are you seeing this? But if you refuse to use it to serve God, to worship God, are you seeing this? You will end up worshiping and serving Mammon. That's idolatry. Giving is God's cure for greed. Giving is God's cure for the tendency to idolatry that comes with money. Are you seeing this? You need to understand this. God wants, say with me, God wants me to have money and in abundance, but he doesn't want money to have me. Praise God. Say with me again, all that I have, all that I am, is for the advancement of God's kingdom, is to do the will of God. And listen, you need money to do the will of God. There are so many visions that require plenty money for it to come to fruition. A lot of visions have gone unfulfilled because there is no money. But this year, God is releasing plenty money.
Amen.
Haggai 2:6-9, God said, I will shake the heavens, shake the earth, shake the dry land, shake the sea. Do you know the current economic shaking is for our lifting? Aya, it's so that there will be a flow, a massive flow of wealth to the church. Can you shout amen? Is to our advantage. It's to our advantage. Go and check. Anytime there is economic recession in the history of the world, new billionaires arise. Am I lying? Peter J. Daniel. That man was from Australia. He's a believer. At a point, he was the richest man in Australia. Peter J. Daniel, he became a billionaire during recession. How did it happen? God spoke to him before the recession. He said, convert all your wealth into gold. Invest in gold. God spoke to him. You see, the voice of God is an asset. He said, invest in gold. And the guy went into gold business. Because God knew that his gold is going to be in very high demand. And long story cut short, during recession, when other businessmen, investors, etc., were lamenting and counting their losses and shouting, why you Allah? The guy's wealth was rising like, which kind of gari now? Help me. Which kind of gari? Jebu gari. His wealth was rising, swelling. I'm telling you, that was how, pow, he became a billionaire. During recession. Are you aware new millionaires and billionaires are rising in 2024? And plenty of them are coming from the body of Christ. Position yourself correctly and open your ear to hear God. Don't follow the trend. Follow the voice of God. Don't follow the trend. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Are you seeing this? Don't just go by the information of experts, because experts can be wrong. The God of this world, Satan, can upset all their plans, can scatter everything. Satan can slap the stock exchange market and all their prediction will spoil. Follow Uno Road, the Holy Spirit. Allow him to guide you. Praise God. He says, I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come. I've taught you before. The desire of all nations is one thing. Money. Money. It's not Jesus. It's money. Some translations say treasure. Some say wealth. All nations shall come as a result of the shaking. The wealth of nations are coming to us in this season.
Amen.
The desire of all nations has always been money. Not Jesus. Jesus is who they need. But Satan have blinded the minds of them that believe not. Many of them don't even know they need him. In fact, some of them are reject. They are even fighting him. They are even persecuting believers for preaching him. Some nations have even banned the gospel. This is why we intercede. Are you seeing this? Jesus is who they need. But money is what they desire. Next verse, it says, I will shake all nations. And wait, I want to show you something. Verse 7, it said, the desire, the money, the wealth of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory. And that glory in that context is talking of wealth. I've taught you before, the very first time the word glory appeared in the Bible, the literal meaning is wealth. Genesis 31 verse 1, by the law of first mention. Genesis 31:1. You remember that wealth transfer from Laban business and business enterprise to Jacob and sons. Are you seeing this? There was a massive wealth shift. And then by this time, Jacob had become very wealthy. And he heard the words of Laban's sons saying, Jacob had taken away all that was our father's. That's wealth transfer, actually. And of that which was our father's, had he gotten all this is glory. Give me the translation that uses wealth, that puts wealth in place of glory. Media, search it for me. In this context, okay, amplified. You see that? Jacob heard Laban's sons complaining. Hi, some people will complain because of your wealth this year. Oh. But Jacob soon learned that Laban's sons were grumbling. See, there is a dimension of kingdom, wealth, and prosperity that provokes envy. Envy and jealousy. Some people will hate you because of it. You know, there are some people, they love you as long as you are poor and wretched and you are begging them for money, begging them for salt and maggi to cook. But the day they see, enter your kitchen, seeing bags of rice. They see you wearing good clothes, and you are not 1 month, 3 months, you've not come to beg them for anything. They don't vex. Isaac became so prosperous that an entire nation, the Philistine, envied him. Higher. In Psalm 112, the portrait of the blessed man, media, don't go there. The Bible said, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Then the ending, he said, the wicked shall see it and gnash with their teeth. But they can't do anything because you are heavily defended. Are you seeing that? That's why when you are rich and wealthy, make sure you are a giver. Because special angels protect givers. That's why you hardly hear that givers die anyhow. Because God is unwilling to do without a cheerful giver. They don't die anyhow. They mean so much to God. So God put special angels of protection. Are you seeing this? Some people, their testimonies is they are always escaping accident. Always escaping accident. Whenever, anytime I see people like that, what I always tell them is that make sure that you start giving like never before. And see whether you'll be sharing this kind of testimony. We thank God for the escape. All this narrow escape all the time. Be a giver. You won't even get accident at all. Or even if you get, it's going to be once in a blue moon. Are you seeing this? Special angels protect them. I always tell people that if my mother was not a giver, she would have died longest time. She would never have lived long. She was the only survivor in her family. All the children her mother gave birth to, all of them died. She didn't know how many died before her. But all the ones that they gave, her mom gave birth to after her, all of them died. Somebody say, waiting for some. Go ask them for village. That's technology. Witchcraft tech. Somebody say, na craft. I was young. I used to be angry anytime I see my mother giving until I later understood the power of generosity and now saw why she lived long. If not, she would have died longest time. Am I communicating? Praise God. I say praise God. Porabakasaya. He said, Jacob soon learned that Laban's sons were grumbling about him. Jacob has robbed our father of everything. They said, he has gained all his wealth at our father's expense. New Living Translation. Praise God. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I receive abundant flow of kingdom wealth and riches, a ceaseless flow of financial blessings. In the name of Jesus. I receive a rain of abundant resources. Say with me, wealth and riches are in my house, and my righteousness endureth forever. That's Psalm 112 verse 3. Religion say you cannot be rich and righteous. Bible say you can be rich and righteous. Which one will you believe? Look at it there. I didn't write the Bible. It says Psalm 112 verse 3, talking about the blessed man. Psalm 112 verse 3. He said, wealth and riches shall be in his house, not poverty and squalor. Can you see this? And his righteousness, what? Endured forever. So you can be rich and righteous. Listen. Poverty is not a sign of holiness. It's not a proof of holiness. It's not true that the poorer you are, the holier thou art. It's a lie. It's not in the Bible. The depth of your poverty is not a measure of your spirituality. Are you listening? Spirituality is combinable with massive prosperity. It is the will of God to be heavily loaded with substance and very spiritual. Are you seeing this? Some of those needs that is distracting your prayer life, money will handle them so that you can give yourself to God more. Are you seeing this? Not that you are praying. Your wife is knocking door. Go. Baba John Bosco, Maggie don't finish, oh. Saul don't finish, oh. Oh. You that you are in the spirit, you are in cloud 999. You now have to come down to the human realm. Say, this woman, you didn't disturb me now. Junior school fees, oh. Praise God. All this distraction. That's why some people are not growing spiritually. There are some messages you need, some materials you need, some books you need. These things require money. Praise God. Crusades are expensive. Are you seeing this? The Joseph of Arimathea is arising. Men of influence and affluence, they are rising. From this assembly, they are rising. You, my prayer is that you will become a man and a woman of means. Amen. Parakataya. Was it not Joseph of Arimathea, a man of affluence and influence, that went and spoke to Pilate to release the body of Jesus, the dead body? And then after they removed him from the cross, they gave him, and then he went and buried the body in a brand new sepulcher. Brand new. That was a man of affluence and influence. He had the kind of influence that was needed to talk to Pilate, the governor. Am I communicating? And Pilate gave him a listening ear. None of the other apostles could do that. They didn't have that influence. Praise God. I say praise God. And by that his action, he fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 53 concerning the Messiah. Because the Bible says, Jesus will make his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He made his grave in his death. The Hebrew is in plural. He made his grave. He died among two thieves, right? That's with the wicked. Now, the rich. God needed a rich man. He needed Joseph of Arimathea to fulfill the B part of that prophecy. Do you know there are some prophecies that require wealthy people in the kingdom? People of affluence and influence for those prophecies to come to pass. Are you aware? Praise God. God is loading you with substance. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord it is that maketh rich, and he added no sorrow. I prophesy there is surplus supernatural supply for you. Amen. From an open heaven. Amen. It's a season of surplus prosperity. Amen. Give me Genesis 26:13. Genesis 26 verse 13. Give me in New King James Version. Concerning Isaac, this was during famine, oh, period like this, that there is economic famine all over the world. He said the man began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. And look at the result. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herd, great number of servants. So the Philistine envied him. I prophesy you are stepping into enviable dimension of financial prosperity. Philippians 4:19, my God supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Deuteronomy 28 verse 11. Deuteronomy 28 verse 11. Mande gebo roboko sabrakatai. He said the Lord shall make thee plenty. Give me a New Living Translation. NLT. NLT. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your fathers, to ancestors, to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and what? Abundant crops. Glory to God. Then Exodus 36 verse 5. Exodus 36 verse 5. It says, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more. Tell your neighbor, much more. Is that not one of the meaning of abundance? Much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Jump to verse 7. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Give me in NIV, New International Version, NIV. It says, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. I prophesy that is your realm. You have left the realm of not enough. You have left the realm of just enough. You are established in the realm of more than enough. In the name of Jesus. Isaiah 60 verse 5. He said, then thou shalt see and flow together. Okay, give me this in NIV, New International Version, or NLT. NLT. Okay? Okay, leave it at NIV. He said, then you will look and be radiant, your heart will throb and swell with joy. Isaiah prophesied the end time wealth transfer. He said, the wealth of the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nation will come. Can you prophesy this? Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive the wealth of the sea. I receive the riches of the nations. This is talking of end time wealth transfer. Jump to verse 11. Mande kebo rabagadaya. Verse 11. Pata kabo setila kabrande keba. He said, therefore thy gates, that your bank account, your life shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night. He said that men may bring unto you the forces. I say NIV now, Malakido Kabataya. The Hebrew word is Kail. He's talking of wealth. That word forces is Kail. He says, your gate will always stand open. They will never be shut, day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations. Did you see that? He said, men are bringing you the wealth of the nations. Their kings led in triumphal procession. I like the way Message Translation put it. Watch this. Very interesting. This Message Translation will interest you. He said, your Jerusalem gate will always be open. Open house day and night. Receiving deliveries of wealth from all nations. And their kings, the delivery boys. Did you see this? Aye! This is a shouting ground. He said their kings will be the delivery boys. Like the way they bring DHL parcel. Ayagabada. You know what? The king of Saudi Arabia, we carry the wealth of Saudi Arabia. He said, take. Ayagabalatai. Can you shout amen? Your broke days are over forever. Amen. Your begging days are over forever. Amen. Your borrowing days are over forever. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You will not beg again. Amen. You will not borrow again. Amen. From a debtor, you have become a creditor. Amen. You will lend to nations. Amen. I say you will lend to nations. I hear another one in my spirit. You will feed nations. You will feed nations. God will so bless you that you will feed the poor. You will clothe the naked. You will house the homeless. You will accommodate the homeless. In the name of Jesus, God will empower you with financial material resources. You will sponsor crusades. You will build churches. You will sponsor the gospel. You will finance the gospel. Some of you, you will soon pay for 10 years avalanche of good news broadcast. You will just write the check. You will sow seed. Some of you, one of you, only you, will clear the budget for our crusade. Glory Incense Concert and Crusade this year. Only you. Sir, Papa, how much be the budget? 6 million.
say, here is my little widow's mite. How much? 10 million. Kale go by her. Think big for the kingdom. I'm telling you, be big for the kingdom. I got thinking recently, when somebody said something, I say, Kai, not true. He said, do you know the Ishmaelite, the people of the other religion, they don't take offering during their own service when they go for prayer. Did you notice they don't take offering? But can you see how they are building mosques like water? Why? It's because they are kingdom minded, even though it's their own kingdom, not our kingdom. One allergy like this can bring out billions as long as it is promoting Islamic agenda. Have you seen this? Don't you see that when they build filling station, they build a mosque? You will build churches, oh. I say you will build churches. You will build churches. Look at how I took time for this point, because this year, your song has changed. Oh, I say your song has changed. Your story has changed. No more lack. No more lack. No more scarcity. No more not enough. No more shortages. The next dimension: abundance of love, peace, and joy for God's people. This year you will enjoy abundance of love. Love for God, love for humanity. Abundance of love, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Abundance of peace and abundance of joy. Nothing will cut short your joy this year. Nothing will tamper with your peace this year. The Lord will make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. Can you shout amen? Amen. Verse 13. He said, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now give me Romans 15 verse 13. Romans 15:13. Abundance of peace and joy. He said, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Can you shout amen? Amen. God is filling you with joy and peace in overflowing measure. He said, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Deuteronomy 28 verse 47. I choose to serve God. We choose to serve God with joyfulness and gladness for the abundance of all things. He said, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance. Somebody say, for the abundance of all things. Say, in the name of Jesus, I choose to serve God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, because he has given me the abundance of all things. Can you shout amen? Amen. Psalm 37 verse 11. It says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in what? The abundance of peace. Abundance of peace. No matter what happens on earth, you will always have abundance of peace. Even if the world is convulsing, it is well with you. Are you listening? He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore shall we not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. God is our helper. The presence of God is the headquarters of joy. The presence of God is the headquarters of joy. Psalm 16 verse 11. It says, thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness. One of the meaning of abundance is fullness. Fullness of joy, abundance of joy is in his presence. And at thy right hand there are what? Pleasures forevermore. Glory to God. The next dimension of abundance, which is the last dimension I will give, is abundance of souls. Abundant harvest of souls into the kingdom. Abundant harvest of souls into the kingdom. This year, expect abundant harvest of souls into the kingdom. Listen, there shall be massive influx of multitude from every nation, every tribe, every tongue into the kingdom of God in this season. If you believe that, shout amen. There is a massive and a mighty release of the grace for soul winning this year, like never before. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Listen, the primary purpose why God gives you the abundance of all things is so that you can be comfortable to be an effective soul winner and a kingdom advancer. I repeat it again. The primary purpose why God gives you the abundance of all things is to make you comfortable as an effective soul winner and a kingdom, passionate kingdom advancer. So this year, invest richly in God's kingdom business. Invest richly in soul winning business. Am I communicating? Because it yields the highest dividend. Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added to you. In Luke 2:49, Jesus says, why are you looking for me? Responding to his parent, he said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? Soul winning is our father's business. Kingdom advancement is our father's business. Get serious. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Matthew 9:37-38, Luke 10:2, Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth, trusting more laborers into the harvest field. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Multitudes are flocking in into the kingdom. Joel 3:13. Give me Joel 3:13. Kelabakasa. It's a multitude upon multitude and in the valley of decision. It's a put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. The harvest of souls is ripe. The harvest of the nations is ripe. He said, come, get you down, for the press is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. So the season of great wickedness coincide with the season of great harvest of souls. Next verse. So the multiplication of wickedness in the world is a telltale sign that we are in the season of harvest. Okay? Multitudes, comma, multitudes in the valley of decision. So many that are here to decide for Jesus. We are going for them. He said, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Have a vision for soul winning this year. How many souls have you planned to win to Jesus this year? Glory to God. As you are engaging in goal setting, please, under your spiritual goal, add the number of souls that you want to win and disciple for Jesus this year. Hallelujah. In Zechariah 8:20-23. It talks about, Zechariah prophesied about the massive influx of multitude into the kingdom this end time. He said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities. 21. It says, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. He said, we go also. 22. He said, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Next verse. He said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all the language of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt.
of him that is a Jew. In other words, they will hold your clothes, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. May this become your testimony. Amen. Unbelievers will start holding your clothes to follow you to serve your God. By reason of God's abundant goodness and abundant blessings and abundant favors and abundant provision, unbelievers will soon follow you to serve this your God. Your result will be evangelistic. We call it passive evangelism. People are seeing the goodness of God. You are wearing it around. Who will not want to follow you to serve that your God? Am I communicating? They will follow you to AGMI. They will follow you to church. In the name of Jesus. So become kingdom minded. Make up your mind to be a soul winner. Because there is abundant harvest of souls into the kingdom this season. Now very fast. How to activate the grace for abundance in 2024 and beyond. How to activate the grace, this grace for abundance. How to walk in abundance. How to enjoy this life of abundance Jesus has paid for and provided for us. How to enjoy a ceaseless flow of abundance of all things. Number one, capture a vision of a life of abundance. It starts with a vision. You must capture a vision. A picture. A vision is a mental picture of a preferable future. A mental picture of a preferable future. Have a vision of abundance. Stop seeing lack. Stop seeing scarcity. Stop seeing shortages. Stop seeing a life of struggling, begging, borrowing. Delete those images. Renew your mind unto this life of abundance. Jesus said, John 10:10, amplified. He says, I have come that they may have and enjoy life to the full until it overflows. Have a vision of this full and overflowing life Jesus has provided for us to enjoy. Glory to God. It begins with a vision. You must have an abundance mindset. Have an abundance mindset. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why some people find it difficult to give, shall I tell you why? It's because the picture inside of them is that of lack, scarcity, and shortages. So, fear will arise in their heart. Anytime they want to give one big offering, they have 1,000 naira, but they put it on their back left pocket. Say, this one, they know they touch them. Then they will carry 20 naira or 10 naira, put it in their front right pocket. Say, this one is for offering. Fear of lack is the major thing that stops people from giving. Fear of lack. Why? Because they have a vision, a picture, a wrong picture of lack inside of them. So in their mind, when they give, they see, this is how they think. They think that anything they give, they are losing. Can you see the problem? They see it as a loss. They don't see it as an investment. When a wealthy man is investing money, in his mind, is he thinking that he's losing the money? Are you seeing this? Anytime you give, you are investing into the kingdom, and there is very massive return. So these people that are afraid of giving, that don't give, the picture they have inside of them is that of lack, poverty, and scarcity. So anytime they want to give anything substantial, if the voice of that picture will speak to them, say, hey, no triumph. So that fear of lack will now finally prevent them from giving. And guess what? That fear of lack is the reason why, if they don't deal with it, they will be established in poverty. They may never test kingdom wealth. Why? They have the wrong picture, and the wrong picture is producing fear of lack. Let me tell your neighbor, destroy that picture. Change your mindset. Have the mindset of more than enough. Have the mindset of abundance. You see, anytime I give, in my mind, I don't think I'm losing what I'm giving. Mm-mm. I see vision of my harvest. Ah, yeah. You become a giver when you think and see picture that way. Anytime you give, be seeing the vision of your harvest. That's what should occupy your mind. Not the vision that the fear of lack is giving you. See the vision of your harvest. Didn't Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you? Luke 6:38 is a good measure. Look at the characteristics of your harvest. Good measure. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Overflow, abundance. That's what you should be seeing anytime you are giving. Are you seeing this? Anytime you are tithing, anytime you are giving your first fruit, anytime you are giving your worship offering, anytime you are sowing prophet offering, anytime you are giving to the poor, the needy, anytime you are giving towards kingdom project, kingdom advancement, have a vision. Give with a vision of your abundant harvest. When you see that vision, you'll be full of joy. You know, some people, they give and they are sad. Why are they sad? They are seeing the wrong picture. They have the wrong vision. If you are seeing vision of your overflowing abundance, will you be sad when giving? No. You'll be excited at the privilege and opportunity. Am I communicating? Jesus said you cannot put new wine into old wine skin. Matthew 9:17. You only put new wine, the abundance, that new wine there represents abundance. Am I communicating? He says, neither do men put new wine into old bottles. Praise God. He says, else the bottle break. He says, and the wine runneth out. So there will be breakage, there will be damage, there will be spillage if you put new wine into old bottles. He said, but they put new wine into new bottles. Praise God. You put new wine into new bottles. Wine skin. That bottle represents your mindset. Praise God. Your mindset. Your capacity. Praise God. Your mindset, your capacity. And the wineskin represent the same thing. What does that mean? Look up. You cannot walk in abundance if you don't have abundance mindset or mentality. You cannot walk with abundance carrying mindset of lack, scarcity, and shortages. It doesn't work. That means you is that wrong mindset, old mindset of lack, scarcity, and shortages can be likened to that old bottles that you cannot put new wine into. It's a new wine must be put into new bottles. What's that new bottle? He's talking of your new mindset of what? Abundance. Start seeing new pictures. See yourself swimming in abundance. See yourself having more than enough money. Abundance of everything. Are you getting my point? Spend time meditating on God's word until those pictures begin to rise. Get all those scriptures. That's why we are giving you so many scriptures concerning abundance. Start engaging in chronic meditation, prayerful meditation, until you start visualizing abundance. Visualizing abundance. Until the word of God renew your mind. Am I communicating?
Mark 2:22. The journey to walking in abundance begins with capturing a vision of abundance. This life of abundance. Palakataya. He says, no man putteth new wine into old bottle. The same thing. Else the new wine bursts forth, the bottle spilled, and then everything is mad. New wine must be put into new bottle. A translation say wine skin for that bottle. And I say the bottle represents your mindset, your mentality. Don't move around with poverty mentality. Destroy that thing. How? By getting the right scriptures that has to do with prosperity, that shows you that it is the will of God. And then get these scriptures on abundance that we've been sharing these days. Am I communicating? Then start meditating on them. Prayerful meditation, chronic meditation, and there are stages of meditation. You meditate until you start seeing new pictures of abundance. You start seeing yourself flowing in abundance. Am I communicating? You start seeing what the word is saying. You go beyond hearing the word, you start seeing it. Are you seeing this? Jeremiah 1:11 is what you see. The vision you see that you are empowered to become. The vision, what you visualize from the word of God, from the prophetic word, that you are empowered to become. You can't step into it until you first see it. Am I communicating? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? Let me ask your neighbor, what can you see concerning 2024? Can you see the abundance? You know, we've been saying this year is a year of abundance, but the problem is some people are not seeing it yet. They are not seeing it in their heart. They are not seeing it in their mind. If you are in that category, it means you need to start laboring in the word. Gather those scriptures. Gather these messages. Are you listening? Chronic and prayerful meditation. Mix the meditation with tonguing until new pictures, new visions, new dreams, new pictures start springing forth. You start seeing yourself in abundance. You start seeing yourself swimming in the realm of more than enough. Glory to God. I say glory to God. He said, what seest thou? He said, I see the rod of an almond tree. And look at what God told him. He says, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen. In other words, you have seen well. You can see well and you cannot see well. It's possible to see rightly and to see wrongly. Tell your neighbor, don't see the wrong vision. Don't see the wrong picture. He said, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Which word? The word that you clearly see. Listen, the prophetic word you clearly visualize is the word that God will hasten to perform. God will perform it speedily. The clearer the vision, the faster the speed of accomplishment. Are you seeing this? Romans 12:2, it says, be ye not conformed to this world, be ye not conformed to a life of lack, scarcity, shortages. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind unto this life of abundance Jesus has paid for with his blood. Hallelujah. Isaiah 2:1, he said, the word of the Lord which Isaiah saw, he saw it. Don't just hear the word, see the word. Refuse to conform and accept a life of begging and borrowing. Refuse to conform to this world and accept a lifestyle of lack, scarcity, shortages. That's not the will of God. Begin to see this life of abundance Jesus has provided. Stay in the word, meditate prayerfully until those pictures begin to change. Glory to God. Listen, some of us, because of the background, we lived in a family, in a poor family. We have a background as in biological family and all of that. The community we grew in is plagued by poverty, lack, scarcity. Let me tell you something.
The problem with that is that it will affect your mindset. If you don't intentionally deal with it, it will sabotage your destiny. It will be difficult for you to step into wealth. Why? Because of those pictures that have entered, the things you have heard, the things you have seen, they have entered your heart. And it has a way of limiting your destiny. That's why I say step into the word. You need to expose yourself to the right environment. You need to expose yourself to the word of God concerning this life of abundance. Allow it to brainwash you, to delete those wrong images. Am I communicating? Through the correct exposure, through meditation on God's word, through the right mentorship, get new mentors. Am I communicating? Barakida kapataya. The right information. Read the right books. Listen to the right messages. You must be intentional concerning changing that wrong pictures, those wrong pictures that you have carried for years. Or else, the poverty of your father's house, you will be surprised that you are duplicating it. Because of the wrong pictures inside you. Deal ruthlessly. Let me tell you, neighbor, deal ruthlessly with those wrong pictures and images. Some files must be deleted and what? Destroyed completely. Scatter some cassettes. Eh? Scatter some cassettes by the right exposure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you need to go and look for the most expensive restaurant, whether in Jos, Abuja, Lagos, anywhere. Sit down there. Even if you can buy only bottled water, Don't worry about the price. Of course, their price will be high. If they say bottled water there is 2,000, no problem. Buy, just sit down there. Sit down there. Something is happening to your mindset. Some of you need to take flight this year. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just fly. Go somewhere. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Boss all the time. But fly, vex, go Lagos. If you book ahead of time, the price will be less. Don't worry. People say you are wasting money. It's doing something to your mindset. Some of you need to fly first class this year. Yes, the money will pinch you. No problem. Something is happening to your mindset. By the time all this, hello, excuse me, what would you like to take? And you cross your leg like this, sit down. Get used to this life, oh. Are you getting me? So you need to go and look for a very expensive hotel and lodge inside one day. Even if it's one day, it will be expensive, no problem. Pay. Listen. The effect on your mindset is more important than the money. It's more important than the money. The right exposure is important. They once asked a billionaire, was he Donald Trump, that if you ever lost all your money and you became broke, you are no longer rich. He said, what one thing will you do that will help you recover all your money? Look at his answer. He said, I will look for an expensive restaurant where I know that billionaires, very wealthy people, come to eat food and they sit down and discuss. I will look for that restaurant and then I will get a seat close to where they are. I will sit down there and I will listen to their conversation. Because if you know what they know and you do what they do, you will get the result they get. There are books you must read this year. You say you don't want, you want to conquer the giant of poverty that of your father's house. How many books are you planning to read this year that has to do with finance? Mike Mudok said, if you are really serious about your financial destiny, the number of books you should read concerning finances and money, he said the number of books should be equal to your age. In fact, it's a principle, sir, to succeed at anything, the number of books you should have read in that area should be equal to your age. So ask yourself, how old am I? How many books have I read on finances to defeat poverty by certified authors? We can see that many of you are lazy. Plan this year, oh, buy books. You say, ah, I don't have money to buy books. You are joking. You have money. Your problem is your priority. So you can finish 3,000 without looking back. Once you enter a restaurant, Meshai, bring Suya, put 5,000. This one, you cannot buy one book per month. Do you know if you buy one good book per month, by the end of the year, you have 12? Tell your neighbor, invest in knowledge. Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, watch this. The word of the Lord came to Abraham, saying, I am your shield, I am your exceeding great reward. Abraham, next verse. And Abraham said, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? Did you see something there? The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. God said, I'm your shield, I'm your exceedingly great reward. Verse 2, Abraham did not see what God said. He was seeing a different, wrong picture. He was seeing childlessness. You see, this is a problem with some believers. Prophetic word will come to you. The word of the Lord will come to you in a vision. It's our year of abundance, but you are seeing a different picture, like Abraham. What was Abraham seeing? Childlessness. He's asking God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And God later wanted, let's see what God did. Next verse. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. He continued the wrong picture. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir. That's Eliezer of Damascus. He was thinking that his servant, the senior servant in his house, will become his heir. God said, no. He said, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels, that's Isaac, shall be your heir. Verse 5. Look at what God did. And he, God, brought him, Abraham, forth from abroad and said, see, Abraham was inside a tent. God brought him out. Ah, come out of your box. Some of you, God need to bring you out of your mental box. Enlarge your mind this year. Enlarge your mind. Elevate your thinking. Enlarge your heart. God give to Solomon largeness of heart. That's an abundance mindset. Enlargement of his capacity. The things Solomon did. Look at the magnificent temple. What billions of dollars that he built. Only somebody with largeness of heart can attempt such a project. Gold everywhere. Am I communicating? Palatiza. God brought him from abroad. Give me an amplified. And said, look now toward heaven. Aya. And tell the stars. He brought him outside his tent into the starlight. Can you see that? Some of you are still in your mental tent. Some of you, your vision is obscure. Your thinking is upside down. Your environment has conditioned your mindset. Your environment, limitations, all of that is giving you the wrong picture. If, I grew up in the barracks, I noticed that The average barrack boy those days growing up, if you ask him, what do you want to become? He said, to join the military. Why? Because that is what he sees around. It has conditioned his mindset. Most of them, that's all they think, to join the military. Don't become like that, so that your environment, the poverty in Plateau State, the whatever, it has affected your thinking. The limitations you grew up in your father's house, it has affected your thinking. Tell your neighbor, come out of your box. Become limitless. I command every mental barrier to be broken. Every mental barricade to be broken. Every spiritual mental barrier be broken. Every spiritual mental barricade be broken. And he said, look now towards the heaven, count the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said, so shall your descendant be. So even your faith needs the right picture for it to work. Even faith is picture activated. Your faith, listen, your faith cannot come alive with the wrong picture in your mind. God needed to change the picture, give Abraham a vision, and then Abraham believed God. Why is it that some people struggle to believe God? It's because of what they are seeing. They are seeing the wrong picture. Are you seeing this? Brought him outside his tent into the starlight. Then he said, so shall your descendant be. Verse 6, look at it. And he, Abraham, believed, trusted in, relied on God. Why? Because of the vision he just saw. And remained steadfast to the Lord. And he counted him to him for what? Righteousness. Genesis chapter 30, verse 27. Genesis 30, 27. The story of Jacob. You see how... Okay, let me just read. And Laban... Okay, give me this in New King James Version, please. Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience. The Lord has blessed me for your sake. Next verse. Then he said, name me your wages, and I will give it. Next verse. So Jacob said unto him, you know how I have served you, and how your livestock has been with me. Next verse. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount, and the Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own household? Next verse. So he said, what shall I give to you? Jacob said, you shall not give me anything, for you will do this thing for me, and I will again feed and keep my flocks. What will he do? 32. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing there all the speckled and the spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and this shall be my wages. Next verse. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come, when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen, it is, if it is with me. Verse 32, 34. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. They had an agreement. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hands of his son. Next verse. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. Now, watch this. Jacob took for himself rods of what? Green poplar, and of the almond and chestnut, and peel white stripes in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set those peeled rods before the flocks in the gutter, in the watering troughs where the flock came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. Powerful principle here. So the flocks conceived before the rods, And the flock brought forth what? Streaked, speckled, and spotted. Hold it here. Can you see something there? Now, the rod represents the word of God. They conceived before the rod. It's a picture of meditation. Ayagabarakataya. What you see, what you visualize is what you become. Am I communicating? 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, we all beholding as in a mirror. That mirror or glass is the word of God. As we behold, we become. Am I communicating? Beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being changed supernaturally into that same image from glory to glory. It's a powerful principle. As the flock came to drink water, Jacob put those peeled stripe rod in front of them as they were seeing it, and then they mated. He said they conceived and brought forth striped animals. There is this principle of behold. What you behold is what you what? Believe. What you believe is what you become. What you become is what you what? Behave. And when you behave it well enough, you beget. Powerful principle. Behold has to do with the vision in your heart and in your mind, what you see. When you behold, what you see is what you believe. The believing of faith with your heart, with the heart, man believeth. Okay? What you behold, what you see determines what you believe. So the right picture is needed for your faith to come alive. And what you believe is what you are empowered to become. Am I communicating? You become it inside. Am I communicating? This has to do with being. Being. And then when you become it on the inside, you begin to behave it. This talks of action. Your words, your actions, your habits, your behavior. Glory to God. And when you do that, you beget. This talks of manifestation of result. The result you manifest. Am I communicating? Manifestation of result. What you get, you end up having. The journey started with what? Beholding. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding. Are you getting something here? Powerful principle. Tell your neighbor, put the right picture before you. This year, think big. It's a year of abundance. Think in terms of abundance. Talk in terms of abundance. Act that way. Think big, talk big. Take big action steps accordingly. Glory to God. I say glory to God. See abundance. Say in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to see abundance, to think abundance, to speak abundance, and to act accordingly. Enlarge your mind and your visionary capacity this year. Your capacity determines the limit of how much you get, not God. It's not God that determines the limit, it's your capacity. So that's the first key. Capture a vision of abundance. Number two, how do I activate the grace for abundance? Is through a lifestyle of faith. A lifestyle of faith. Four times we were told in scriptures that the just shall live by faith. Faith is the lifestyle of believers in the kingdom. The just or the righteous one is talking of the believer in Christ. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Faith is our kingdom lifestyle.
Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. Listen, faith is the password into a world of abundance. Your faith is your express ticket into the world of unlimited abundance. Am I communicating? Faith is a password. Romans 5 verse 2. It says, by faith we have access into this grace wherein we stand. Romans 5 2. By whom also we have access. By faith. Faith is the password, is the doorway into all the provisions of abundant grace. Am I communicating? You want to access the provision of grace? He said it is through faith. We have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Luke 1:45, he said, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of this prophetic word concerning abundance. You activate it into manifestation by your faith. Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believeth. How many things? All things, including this prophetic word concerning abundance. Say with me, I receive grace to labor in the word and in prayer to build my faith, to receive my heritage of abundance this year. Listen, faith is the hand that receives all that grace provides. God has given us abundance of grace, but it is with the hand of faith that you receive. You receive that abundance, the abundance of all things God have provided by your faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word there is rhema. So the journey to faith begins with receiving rhema. And how do you receive rhema? Meditate on the word of God. Chronic and prayerful meditation. How do you receive rhema? Learn to spend time in fellowship, in prayer, pray in tongues, pray in the spirit. Commune with God, communion with the Holy Ghost, fellowship with the Holy Spirit until you receive rhema. And when you receive rhema, rhema is that revealed word, the Holy Ghost quickening your spirit out of the entire body of truth called Logos. And when that word is revealed to you, quickened by the Holy Ghost, you declare it and act on it. It is rhema that gives faith. Am I communicating? And then that revelation called rhema, it sponsors conviction. You become fully persuaded, because when it is revealed to you, you will not doubt anymore. Revelation will clear every doubt. Am I communicating? You become fully persuaded. You become completely convinced. And then that conviction will now lead to confession. From that heart that is fully persuaded, you release your faith by your words, confession. What is sponsoring that confession is the revelation of the truth that you are fully persuaded about, you are convinced about. And then, of course, you follow up your confession with action, corresponding action of faith. And then you give God the praise, thanksgiving. Am I communicating? I just summarize the equation of faith for you. It begins with what? Fellowship, communion with God. To receive rhema, revelation. Revelation births what? Conviction. Conviction, nobody doubt what they are fully persuaded about. They freely speak of it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when you are fully convinced, you are fully persuaded, what you truly believe, it will come out of your mouth. We hear it. And then you take action. And then you cap it up with what? Praise and what? Thanksgiving. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. A lifestyle of faith. Matthew 9:29. It is unto you according to your faith. Your portion of abundance this year is unto you according to your faith. So Don't envy anybody's result. It is unto you according to your faith. Build your faith capacity to take your lion's share of abundance this year out of the provision. And remember, Galatians 5 verse 6, Amplified Version. The Bible says, faith, the God kind of faith, worketh by love. So you have to walk in love so that your faith will not be impotent. Faith worketh by love. It is activated and energized by love. So don't walk in bitterness, unforgiveness, keeping malice, all those things. Walk in love. Tell your neighbor, walk in love. For your faith to come alive. Number three, how do I activate the grace for abundance? By engaging in fervent prayer with fastings. Engaging in what? Fervent prayer boosted with fasting. And we are on currently, today is day what? Day seven. We just completed 1 week of prayer and fasting today. Can you celebrate Jesus for the grace to pray, the grace to fast? We've been meeting every day by 4 p.m. for our daily what? Corporate prayer and then what? Prophetic teaching. How many of you have been blessed by the teaching? Yes, we have been feasting on the word. So it's not just coming to pray. We are also receiving the word. Listen, if you take this 21 days serious, you will make so much spiritual progress. I'm telling you the truth. Very important. Acts 4:31. By engaging in prayer with fasting, we activate this grace for abundance. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word with boldness. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed was of one heart. So prayer has a way of uniting people. It united their heart. One heart, one soul. Neither said any of them out of the things which he possessed was his own. The prayer broke greed. They became liberal and generous. But they had all things in common. Next. And with great power. Somebody say great power. You want to walk in abundance of the anointing, abundance of God's power. He said, with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Well, how did they activate great grace? Help me. How? Somebody say, through prayer. In Luke 4, verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit after 40 days prayer and fasting. He returned in the power of the Spirit and the fame of him spread abroad. He took over. Then in Luke 4:19, the Bible says Jesus stepped into the synagogue for to read, and he located the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him. And he started reading the prophecy of Isaiah. He was quoting Isaiah chapter 61 from verse 1. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to declare, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus began to walk in the anointing, abundant anointing. How? He activated it on the altar of prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James chapter 5, 16b, he said, the earnest heartfelt, in the Amplified Version, prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Prayer will activate the supply of the Spirit and cause the release of abundant grace. Philippians 1:19. And it is the supply of the Spirit that blows in abundance. When they needed quail, it was the wind of the Spirit that brought it. That's the supply of the Spirit. Numbers 11:31-32. Psalm 78:26-29. The south wind, the west wind blew from the presence of the Lord and blew abundant quails from the sea for the children of Israel. A day's journey in every direction, heaped cubits above the ground level. Hallelujah. in Luke chapter 9 verse 29 on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, James and John. The Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His garment became what? White and glistering. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Sheburaba kasata elefrido sepeletena kabrando savrakatia. You learn to make power available. Am I communicating? You learn to make power available. You learn to apply and subscribe for abundant grace on the altar of prayer with fasting. Prayer with fasting. Number four, how do I activate the grace for abundance? Through the lifestyle. Live a lifestyle of liberality and generosity towards God and men. Live a lifestyle of liberality and generosity towards what? God and men. Hallelujah. This is talking about giving. Beginning with your tithing. Hallelujah. In Malachi 3 verse 10, God said, prove me now herewith with your tithe, if I will not open the windows of heaven. And when God opens the windows or floodgate of heaven, what comes down? Somebody say abundance. Abundance of rain. It comes in form of divine ideas, in form of wisdom. And that will produce wealth. It comes in form of favor. Hallelujah. Tithing is a law of open heaven. Don't joke with your tithing this year. In fact, let me tell you something. One error people make is that Christians, when things become tight financially, they either stop giving or they reduce their giving. But one thing they don't know is that when things become tough financially, that is when you should be giving more. Did you hear what I just said? Yes, that's when you should even increase your giving, because that's the only way to deal with that tough situation financially. Am I communicating? Is not the reason why you should reduce your offering or your tithe or refuse to give your first fruit. It's even the reason why you should give more, because this is how to come out of it. This is the way to overcome it. This is the way to dominate lack and scarcity. Are you getting my point? There is he, Proverbs 11:24. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. Proverbs 11:24. There is that scattereth. That's you scatter seed. He's talking of giving, generosity, liberality, and yet increaseth. In other words, listen, in the economy, in the kingdom, if you want to increase, it's by scattering seed. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat, and it comes to what? Poverty. It's good to withhold. That's talking of savings. It's good to save. But don't save at the expense of giving. Is this strong meat? Is this strong meat? That's what that scripture is saying. There is it that withholdeth more than it is meat. Don't save at the expense of giving. In fact, when you come up here, you will realize we save so that we have enough to give self. Bulk giving. Are you getting me? And it tended to poverty. What's the purpose of saving? Is it not investment? But it is the problem. Some people think investment only into the secular. But they don't think in terms of kingdom investment. You don't know your giving is under kingdom investment. When you give towards the gospel, you didn't lose the money, you didn't waste it, you just invested it. So investment is not just physical, it's not just business investment, it's also spiritual, it's also kingdom investment. Am I communicating? 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Next verse. And he that watereth the liberal soul shall be what? Made fat. And he that watereth shall also himself be watered. Give me in NLT. New Living Translation. Are you getting blessed? Are you learning something? The wisdom of giving. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be what? Look up, look up. You cannot prosper in this kingdom without giving. Impossible. There are other laws too, but it is giving that is the anchor central law. Are you getting me? There is nothing else that you will do that you can prosper financially and walk in financial abundance in the kingdom. There is nothing else you will do that will make you prosper and walk in abundance without giving. Impossible. Think of a farmer. Watch this. If a farmer plows the ground, waters the ground, rain fell, heavy rainfall. After plowing the ground, he did not plant or sow any seed. Follow me carefully. Will he have any harvest? No matter the input, no matter the hard work, the farmer, the energy, the time, the resources he invests in the farm, can he have an harvest when he didn't plant any seed? It's the same way when you think that you can walk in financial abundance and you don't give, you don't tithe, you don't give first fruit, nothing, but you are very hardworking. You are doing other things. You are very prayerful. You are a prayer warrior. There are so many prayer warriors and fasting giants. And I pray, I fast too. So many prayer warriors and fasting giants that don't give. No wonder their poverty is very anointed. Are you getting me? Your prayer and fasting will only work when you have planted seed on the ground, when you have given. That's when your prayer and fasting will make sense. You cannot come out of poverty without giving. It's a powerful principle. Don't joke with your tithing this year. See, things will be very hard financially. There will be economic meltdown. In fact, things will become tougher in the economy this year. And that is the reason why you should be aggressive with your giving this year. Are you getting my point? Because that is how you deal with it. Oh, don't say I didn't tell you. I'm playing my part now. Oh, God is watching. God is my witness. I don't tell them. Oh, Papa God, I don't tell them. Tell your neighbor, be an aggressive giver this year. Listen, your generosity is an attack on your lack. It's an attack on lack. So before you start praying and start making your confession and start shouting, money, come to me, make sure you have sown seed. Or else now wind go come. Are you getting me? Say with me, I receive grace to give. I receive grace to sow. During famine, hear the testimony of Isaac, Genesis 26:12. During famine, God instructed him to sow. Okay? God told him sow. He said, remain in the land, don't japa. And then God said, then the Bible says, Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, went forward, grew until he became very great. He had possessions of flock, possession of herd, great store of servants, and the Philistine envied him. How come Isaac walked in abundance during famine? Because he obeyed the voice of God and sowed the seed. Are you seeing this? As long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, they shall not cease. Glory to God. It's a law. Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. These are kingdom financial principles. Honor the Lord with your what? Substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. And what will be the result? So shall thy barns be filled with what? Plenty. And thy vats with what? new wine. Hallelujah. So you learn to honor God with your substance and with your first fruit. Glory to God. First fruit refers to the first and the best of everything God blesses you with. The first and the best of your income. The first and the best of everything God blesses you with. Glory to God. Honor the Lord with it. It's a principle. Even all these village people, don't they do New Yam Festival? Did you notice they don't eat the New Yam until they have done New Yam Festival? It's a taboo. It's an abomination. You don't eat New Yam until you do New Yam Festival. What do they do during the New Yam Festival? It's a form of first fruit. They offer the thing to their God. That, what's the name of those deity now? Odudua. Eh? They will now be appreciated. Thank God, oh, you have prospered also. We have brought our first fruit, New Yam. We dedicate it to you. Until they do that, they don't eat the New Yam. That's the people in the other kingdom. Don't they do Agungu Fishing Festival in Kebbi State? Even the people in the other kingdom, they do first fruit. God, when they honor their gods and deity with the first of their harvest, with their crops like that, they believe he releases blessing on them and gives them favor. Are you getting me? Don't eat your tithe this year. Oh. Don't eat your first fruit. Sow your seed. Be an aggressive soul. What did I say? Giver. Tither. Receive grace. Some of you tithe today, you don't tithe tomorrow. You give today, you don't give tomorrow. No wonder. Sometimes you have, sometimes you don't have. You know why? It's because sometimes you give, sometimes you don't give. Sometimes you tithe, sometimes you don't tithe. So sometimes harvest comes, sometimes no harvest. Sometimes you have, sometimes you are in lack. Receive grace for consistency. Amen. Receive grace to be a faithful and consistent tither, a faithful and consistent giver. In the name of Jesus. When you honor the Lord with your substance, the first fruit of all your increase, look at the result, verse 10. It says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Somebody say, overflowing abundance. And thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Giving is God's wisdom for you to walk in abundance. Giving is what? God's wisdom for you to walk in abundance. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 1. It says what? Ecclesiastes 11:1. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after what? Many days. Next verse. It says, give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Do you know your giving can avert future calamity and tragedies? Yes. Look at it there. Next verse. It says, if the cloud be full of rain, if the cloud be full of rain, they what? They empty themselves upon the earth. If your rain is not falling, if your rain of abundance is not falling, it simply means your cloud is not yet full. So what should you do? Keep filling your cloud. And in this context, how do you fill your cloud? Continuous giving. Listen, if you sow a seed and you are believing God for a particular result, outcome or harvest, after sowing the seed, after a while, if you don't see that harvest, what should you do? Sow again. If you don't see the harvest, increase the seed. Are you getting me? What are you doing? You are filling your cloud. You are filling. If the rain of abundance is not falling, that means your cloud is not yet full. It says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. May you not faint before your harvest season. Amen. So keep filling your cloud until it empties itself. Abundant rain falls. Glory to God. I say glory to God. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly,
So the way you sow is the way you will reap. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. How you sow is how you reap. Okay, next verse. Every man according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. So give with the right motive of your heart, or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Next verse. Don't give under compulsion. Don't give under duress. He said, and God, did you notice this word? And is a conjunction. Many people quote this verse, but they forget this word. That means this verse 8 is connected to the previous verse. In other words, this is a consequence of the previous verse. He said, when you sow and give, he said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you as a result of your giving and sowing. Are you seeing this? So the giver enjoys what? All grace. Give the giving grace is the doorway to all other graces. Giving is the doorway to all other graces. Look at it there. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, the giver. Not a stingy person. Not the non-giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, the giver. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Can you shout amen? Amen. Next verse. As it is written, he had dispersed abroad. He's talking of the giver. He had given to the poor. There are different dimensions and categories of giving, including giving to the poor. His righteousness remained forever. Next verse. He said, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. God only multiplies your seed sown, not your financial needs expressed in prayer. What God multiplies is your seed sown. Listen, if you have any you have any financial need or material need and you are praying to God about it without sowing your seed, just know that you are wasting your time. Listen. Every material need, it is by sowing a material or financial seed. That is how you meet that need. Are you getting me? So before you start praying about God giving you money or blessing with any material thing, make sure you have planted your seed. It's a principle. God multiplies your seed sown, not your financial and material needs expressed in prayer. 1 million times zero is what? Zero. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. You sow not at all, you reap. You sow smile, what will you reap? If it's a lie, just look at your neighbor and smile. Tell me what you reaped. Praise God. Luke 6:38. Jesus said, give, it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, men shall pour to your bosom. Next key to activate the grace for abundance, you must be obedient to divine instructions, guidance, and direction. Obedience to divine instruction, guidance, and direction. This year, make up your mind to follow the voice and leadings of the Holy Spirit like never before. Glory to God. John 2:5. Jesus, Mary told them, when wine got finished at the wedding, Mary told them that whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. You want to walk in abundance? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. John 2:5. Obey divine instructions. Don't rationalize them. Don't trivialize them. No matter how ridiculous they sound, obedience to ridiculous instruction provoke miraculous manifestations. The instruction you obey determines the result you get. Isaiah 1:19, he says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat what? The best of the land. Proverbs 3:5, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He says, don't lean on your own understanding.
In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. Psalm 23:1. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. He leads me beside the still water. That's divine leading. He maketh me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still water. He restored my soul. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Then verse 5. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Then thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's a picture of abundance. It all started with what? The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. Allow God to lead you this year. Follow his leadings this year. God knows where all the monies are. He knows where the increase, the result that you seek. He will lead you. Isaiah 48:17. He says, the Lord will teach you to profit. He will lead you in the way that you are supposed to go. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God. We teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way thou shouldest go. Don't be stubborn. Don't insist on going your own way. Know the ways of the Lord and walk in them. Hallelujah. Follow his leading. Follow his guidance. Give me verse 21. That's in Isaiah 48, verse 21. And they tested not when he led them through the desert. If you allow God lead you, you will not lack. You will not test. You will not suffer hunger. But if you are the one leading yourself, then you are in trouble. They tested not when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleaved the rock also. The waters gushed out. The children of Israel, the church in the wilderness, they walked in abundance. They did not lack anything. Why? They subscribed to and followed the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? The Lord went before them in a pillar of cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night. If you read the story in 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 to 16, after Elijah declared that, he told Ahab, he said, there shall be neither rain nor dew except at my word. He declared no rain. He closed the heaven, put the key in his back pocket, and was strolling around. He didn't have pocket though. He was wearing skirt. You know, some people, they are looking at me now. Praise God. To ensure that he did not become the victim of the same famine that he declared. In verse 2, 1 Kings 17:2, the word of the Lord came to him. God said, go and hide yourself by the brook called Cherith. There I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Somebody say divine direction. Hear God and obey him. You will not suffer lack. And when the brook got dried, because God wanted to help the widow woman at Zarephath, God allowed the brook to dry up. And then another instruction came. He said, go to the widow of Zarephath. I've commanded her to sustain you. Are you seeing this? The availability of divine direction and instruction determines the degree of abundance that you walk in and enjoy. Glory to God. Say with me, I receive grace for divine sensitivity, for spiritual sensitivity to the voice and leadings of the Holy Spirit. Then the next key, a lifestyle of gratitude, joy and gladness. Refuse sorrow, mourning and sadness. Be full of thanksgiving and praise. Serve the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart, not sadness and sorrow and depression. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Isaiah 12:3, it says, therefore with joy shall you what? Draw water from the wells of what? Salvation. You want to draw waters of abundance. You want to enjoy the abundance that the salvation in Christ has provided. He says it is true joy. Be grateful to God, be grateful to men. Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Habakkuk 3, 17. Look at this farmer, this businessman. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat. He said, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Nothing was working for this farmer, both on the side of crop farming and animal farming. But look at his decision. He said, yet, somebody say, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Listen, irrespective of the negativity, adverse situation, irrespective of the problem you are going through, choose to rejoice. He said, I will rejoice. My business is not doing well. I will rejoice. I'm not getting results as I'm supposed to. I will rejoice. Because your joyful spirit is what determines the eventual final outcome. Hallelujah. I will rejoice in the Lord my God. I will joy in the God of my salvation. 19. Look at the result. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the hinds feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places. Hey! Supernatural change of level. Can you shout amen? Amen. As a result of joy, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy is a supernatural strengthener. Then the last key, how to walk in what? How to activate the grace for abundance. Number one, capture a vision of a life of abundance. Number two, a lifestyle of faith. Number three, engage in fervent prayer with fasting. Number four, a lifestyle of liberality and generosity towards God and men. Number five, obedience to divine instruction, guidance and direction. Number six, a lifestyle of gratitude, joy and gladness in bracket. Number seven, through prophetic impartation, the power of prophecy, learning to ride on prophetic wings. 2 Kings 7:1. During a period of biting famine, economic recession, meltdown in Samaria, hunger was so much that women were eating each other's children. Even the king could not help the situation. The political leader, he was helpless. Then the prophet Elisha arose. He said, then the Bible said, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Did this prophecy come to pass? Did it come to pass? Yes. Give me verse 18. In verse 18, that prophetic word came to pass. It came to pass as the man of God has spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. Listen, the prophetic word can bail you out of famine any day, anytime. One prophetic word from Prophet Elisha turned around the economy of the nation of Israel. How much more your own personal economy? Glory to God. Hebrews 7:7, he said, beyond all contradiction, the less is blessed of what? The greater. Impartations of prophetic blessing, they give you wings to fly. By prophetic impartation of the blessing, you can enjoy and walk in abundance. Even in the midst of scarcity, during the time of famine, by prophetic impartation of the blessing and the anointing, you can enjoy and walk in abundance in times of lack, scarcity. The prophetic word can empower you to flourish in famine. It can make you to command surplus in scarcity. It can make you to command supernatural prosperity in austerity. You can command surplus supernatural supplies through prophetic speakings, Prophetic speakings can provoke supernatural prosperity for you and launch you into the realm of abundance. You learn to ride on eagle's wings. Hallelujah. Kabalatizo balakida. Ambraka tuske liga brakatana leferendo sefriga lagadi sapala tatani jeliko frakatia. Receive prophetic helping hands in this season. I say receive prophetic helping hands in this season. That scripture Pastor Mafeng read, Ezra 5 verse 2, it said the elders Shalabakata. Okay, let's start from verse 1. Watch this. It said, then the prophets arose. If you read chapter 4, the ending part, the Bible said the work of building the house of God was made to cease by force and power for over 2 decades. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. And what was the result of their prophecy? Watch this. Then rose up Zerubbabel. Who was Zerubbabel? The governor. Higher. In response to prophetic words, prophetic speakings. Am I communicating? See, when prophetic words are released, spiritual forces are set in motion. Angels begin to influence people. Am I communicating? Destiny helpers begin to rise up for you. He said, then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. They were lending to them prophetic helping hands. In Ezra 6:14, it said the elders of the Jews built and prospered. How? He said through the prophesying. The elders of the Jews built and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of God of Israel, according to the commandment of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. Can you shout amen? Palata sabalakida. 2 Chronicles 20:20. It says, believe ye the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall ye prosper. Rise to your feet. You want to prosper, you want to walk in abundance, you must believe in the Lord your God. A. B. You must believe in his prophet. The prophet is for your profiting. Your prosperity is tied to the prophetic speakings of your God-ordained prophet. Are you getting me? Shagabarakataya. Le krendo sofretila gabadia. Zebeletia. Jesus said in Matthew 10, is it verse 29 or so? Matthew 10, he said, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet reward. A prophet's reward is the unique grace and the anointing upon that prophet, which is for you. Is for your benefit. Am I communicating? You can honor your way into that grace. Glory to God. I say glory to God. You learn to ride on prophetic wings. You learn to ride on prophetic wings. You learn to ride on prophetic wings. Kapata bakata. In Exodus 19 verse 4, God speaking to the children of Israel. He says, see how I bore you. I carried you on eagle's wings. Ayabalakatai. He said, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptian. How I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. And listen, who is that eagle that God said, I carry you on eagle's wings? Who is that eagle? It's Moses. Moses the prophet was the eagle. Hosea 12:13. He said, by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. By a prophet was he preserved. Can you shout amen? Hebrews 7:7. Even Abraham the patriarch could not step into his prophetic destiny until he received prophetic impartation from Melchizedek. Can you remember the story, the encounter? Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High. The Bible says, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Ayagabarakataya. Give me verse 6. Verse 6. It says, but he whose descent is not counted from them, that's Melchizedek, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him. One of the job of a prophetic priest is to proclaim the blessing. Am I communicating? He said, and blessed him. Who is the him? Abraham, that had the promises. Can you see this? God gave to Abraham promises. I'll make you father of many nations. You have so many descendants. But he still needed a prophetic priest called Melchizedek to activate that promise. Are you seeing this? For him to enter into the fulfillment, he needed a prophetic priest. Ayagabagadaya. Prophetic speakings. Ezekiel 37. He said, I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a noise and a shaking. Can you lift up your voice? Because this year, say with me, in the name of Jesus, this is my year, this is my set time to walk in abundance, the abundant life, the life of abundance that Jesus has already paid for with his own blood by his sacrifice. I receive grace to apply all these keys. I receive grace to capture the right vision of abundance. I receive grace to apply all these principles in order to live a life of abundance. I receive grace to walk in faith as a lifestyle. I receive grace to engage in prayer with fasting, to live a life of abundance. I receive grace for a lifestyle of liberality and generosity towards God and men. I receive grace for obedience to divine instruction, the voice, guidance, directions of the Holy Spirit. I receive grace for a lifestyle of gratitude, joy and gladness. I receive grace for prophetic impartation, to ride on prophetic wings, to ride on eagle's wings, and step into my destiny of abundance. Lift up your voice and fire prayer. Kabaleketo kabalakatai. Rondege balaka sidiki balatai. The altar of prayer is the altar where you access grace. Like tole gida kapalatai. In the name of Jesus. All heads bow, all eyes close. If you are in this place, you are yet to receive this abundant life that Jesus has provided by his sacrifice on the cross. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want you to lift up your right hand. Or if you are following me online, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are right now. I'm giving you this opportunity to surrender to Jesus. Come and receive the gift of eternal life. Come and receive the salvation that he has provided. Is there anybody like that? For the sake of our online audience, in case you are listening to me online and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to receive the gift of salvation and the life of God, say this prayer after me. Believe it with all of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me, and on the third day you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. I receive eternal life.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Agnon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.